According to Brett Hubbs of VolQuest, he says that many in the league felt last week that we were just going to do the next 2 years of your schedule, your non-divisional opponents. That for Tennessee would have been Ole Miss and at LSU. Many people felt like that was going to be the move. However, the SEC is reportedly moving forward with a different solution where they're going to try to keep it more, quote, fair and balanced after schools like Florida and Alabama expressed concern about the difficulty of their schedule when just adding 2021 and 2022. Mm-hmm. When you look at what the Big Ten did that as well, right? The Big Ten tried to do the fair and balanced. Mm-hmm. Instead of Ohio State getting Wisconsin like they should have if they just went and fast-forwarded 2 years, they end up getting Purdue instead. So, like, when we're talking about them propping up Ohio State, like, Ohio State could have actually faced some adversity here.
Yep.
If you add Wisconsin on that schedule, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, you play Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin. Okay, like that might be a chance to stumble.
See what they're really made of this time.
Yeah, three games, especially if they're slated in a certain order. But instead, they're like, nope, we're not going to give you Wisconsin, Ohio State. We're going to give you Purdue, which obviously a lot easier.
Absolutely.
The source said that, quote, I promise you some teams aren't going to be happy about this. And Tennessee could be put on that list if you consider that it does seem as if momentum is growing, that it'll be Texas A&M and LSU.
Yeah, if they're catering the floor than Alabama, then yeah, we're going to be one of those teams that's not going to be happy with the results, I feel like.
We talked about the coaches poll being out, Cam, the new coaches poll. So, no surprise at the top, right? No surprise at the top. You have Clemson and Ohio State in that order. Alabama and Georgia rounding out the top four. Then you throw in LSU at five, I believe it was.
So we can get three of the top five teams off the rip.
So already you can tell like Tennessee will be playing Alabama, Georgia, and then you add LSU. Tennessee now plays three of the top five teams in the country. And then in Texas A&M, I believe, came in. Where'd you say, 12th?
13th. They're at 13th.
13th. So then you look around, you're like, wow, so now Tennessee having to. And I imagine Florida also in the top 13 as well,
Florida's
right?
at number 8.
Yeah.
So
you would get four top 10 teams, five top 13 teams, and even like putting Auburn in there instead of A&M.
Yeah, Auburn's at 11, so
it's still going to make it tough, right? Yeah, see, so you are. Go ahead and prepare to be upset if you're a Tennessee fan, is what it seems like, because three of the four schools you're linked to adding is LSU, A&M, and Auburn, all three of those top 13 teams. Ole Miss would be nice. Ole Miss, not a top 25 team, but doesn't seem like Tennessee is going to get that, and I haven't seen any talks about us getting Mississippi State either.
Yeah, that seems like our luck. Seems like kind of our luck. We just, like you said, all these top 13 teams. We didn't make it into the coaches' poll. We were like the next team out.
Yeah, Tennessee came in, I guess, tied for 26th.
Yeah.
With whom? Who are they tied with?
Boise State.
Boise State.
But that would be a big change of luck to go from possibly playing Ole Miss to an A&M or Auburn. If they're catering to Florida and Alabama, then they'll probably get somebody like that that's kind of just simple. And
yeah, I mean, I don't care what they give Alabama. Obviously, we're not chasing Alabama for a division title.
Yeah.
We're not chasing Alabama for a playoff spot. I mean, despite what Joe Klatt said, which, by the way, that was a little weird of him to come out and say he wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee won 9 or 10 games next year. Like, bro, you realize that we only play 10 games next year, right? Like, are you saying you think we can go undefeated? Because, I mean, that'd be cool. I'd like to go undefeated. That seems like a surprise. That seems pretty aggressive to me.
Yeah, that may be a little bit of a stretch, is what I'd call that.
I mean, I'm with it if you want to say it, but again, feels a little aggressive. Feels like a stretch. He's
maybe trying to just get that takeoff. If it actually happens, be like, hey, see, I told you so.
Hey, Tennessee fans, you can't. Remember when I said that you should never get anything again because of how you handled the coaching search and how I root for you to fail and all this stuff? Well, you can't rub this in my face because I don't know if you guys see this right here, but I said you guys could win 9 games, so I predicted it.
All good.
Yeah. You guys only went 8-2. Why are you talking trash to me? I said you should go 10-0, or that I wouldn't be surprised by it.
Yeah, we'll be interesting, especially like we said, if we get those two teams, that would be something.
What is the SEC waiting on?
I don't know, because every conference just seems to be beating them to the punch. They want to be the last team to follow up our conference.
Do you think there's like lobbying going on? Like if you're getting the report that teams are going to be upset, like do you think ADs are like threatening to? I mean, you can't really revolt, but I mean, like you can cause a fuss and you don't have to show a unified front and you can go out and say hateful things and like, you know, bank headlines and you know, be willing to go and put a target on your back. Because I imagine that you'll have, you know, if schools are upset, I would imagine you have some people saying, of course, you're going to protect the Golden Goose of Alabama.
Yeah, and I think if they're catering to Alabama and Florida, then if it's not us, it would probably be a team like Georgia or LSU if it's also kind of getting screwed over. So I think they would definitely be trying to complain. So, yeah, there's probably just a power struggle going on in the background. Because, like, if the Big Ten's doing teleconference calls, I'm sure the SEC has had some going on. And
yeah, you would think they're all getting together and talking. You would think. I wonder how hateful those have gotten. Which, by the way, we should be able to like watch these. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We're in a content biz, guys. Like, we're in a situation where we haven't had content for a while. And the SEC, look, we don't know how often, how many games we're going to get this year. You might have to, make up some money somewhere. So why not put these on your SEC network? Because Lord knows I haven't turned on the SEC network since basketball ended.
Oh yeah, yeah, not at
have
all.
Have you?
No.
Have you turned on the SEC network, Hayden? Are those same like 8 rewatchable games they put on every year, every day, every week? Are they drawing you in? Hey, you can always show us the Tennessee-Auburn SEC Championship from 97 so many times before I say I don't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah, I don't even think I watched the Tennessee takeover this year.
They even do that?
I thought they did. Like,
I mean, they might have. I was just asking. I didn't know.
It's usually in July, but I thought they bumped it up this year.
Okay.
It was like in June, maybe.
Okay.
But I don't think I even watched it.
Like, why not put this on TV? I want to hear these discussions. I want to hear Jeremy Pruitt tell Greg Sankey that his idea is dumb as hell. Mine's dumber than hell. Oh, come on. I know, I've been in down there at Alabama. I know how you guys do. Saban runs around talking about how he has you guys in his pocket. I've seen it firsthand on the other side. You know, we got somebody that's been on that side. We got somebody who's seen it firsthand.
He knows what they do. Yeah, he knows what they kind of try and get away with. So I'm sure he's going to have his complaints if they come out with just a very Bama favoring schedule. But
I've been upset at the lack of content coming out of the NBA bubble, too. Like, I thought we'd have so many more stories by now.
Yeah, I thought we'd have more snitch hotline stuff, too.
More snitch hotlines or just some more drama, some more beef of, like, so-and-so player doesn't like so-and-so, and they ran into each other, and there were words exchanged. Like, where's that reporting at? I've been waiting on that. So far, we've only got Lemon Pepper Wings from a strip club and Rashawn Holmes running around, getting outside of the parameters for wings, and, like, Ben Simmons catching a fish.
Yeah.
And I guess Taco Fall rode his bike around for a little bit, which was funny because he's really tall.
And not a ton of content. I saw something about them having an unofficial wine club. That's about all I really saw. Yeah.
I doubt the SEC has an unofficial wine club. I wouldn't think that's happening here. But I still want to hear these discussions because I think you mean to tell me that the audio of Ryan Day telling Jim Harbaugh to mind his damn business and like let him coach his team wouldn't have gotten Big Ten people fired up?
Oh yeah, that'd been hilarious. We would have loved that.
We led the show with it. We're not even a Big Ten show. That's how fired up it got me.
Makes it feel like football's back, for sure.
Pruitt telling someone he's dumb as hell would have got me going. That ain't right. That ain't right what you guys are doing to us. That ain't right. Florida, you already give them the easiest schedule, and when you're going to make it even, then you switch it. That ain't right. Kirby's probably upset about it, too, like you said. Like, Georgia and LSU probably sitting there. Because, I mean, like, Tennessee, let's face it. I don't consider us a real threat to win the East. Like, can we do it? Sure.
Yeah.
But, like, is that our goal this year? I mean, maybe it's your goal as a fan, but I don't think we have as much at stake as Georgia and Florida. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and also, I don't think we have as big a voice as we used to.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you don't win, you don't have a voice. That's exactly, that's for sure. But I don't feel like we're under that same amount of pressure, right? Like, I don't feel like Florida and Georgia are both sitting there thinking, like, East or bust, pretty much. Like, mm-hmm. Georgia, with the run they've been on, the recruiting classes, the talent, like, all that stuff, obviously that checks out. Florida, you look at, and you're like, okay, Dan Mullen has won a bunch of games, and also we have an easy schedule. So, like, we should be able to have a chance to win the East. Tennessee, we're just trying to take another step forward. I'm not ruling out the East. I don't want to sound like I'm ruling out the East, but I'm just saying, like, we're not East or bust already. Is that fair to say?
No, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely, like you said, the two teams that's what they have to be going for.
Like, if I told you right now Tennessee could finish second in the East, would you lock that in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hayden, you locking that in second in the East right now?
Yeah, with the 10-game SEC schedule, for sure.
I mean, I think any year, really. I mean, like, you know, outside of, you know, 2016, like, you wouldn't have done that. But any other year since then, you just said second in the East, boom, let's lock it in.
Yeah, I mean, that means we either finish ahead of Georgia or Florida. Right. So I'm taking that. Yeah. It means we beat one of them most likely. So, yeah, I think I'd take that for sure.
It means you won at least five SEC games and probably beat one of them head-to-head. Like, if you're finished second. Usually that's what that means, at least. Usually it's six wins. But, you know, there are scenarios where, you know, you can be tied at 5-3 sometimes. Just to prove that point, like, I guarantee if you ask Georgia, like, hey, you want to lock in second in the SEC? East? They'd be like, no. Florida? They'd say no. Right? Like, we think Florida's rolling the dice, too, on their schedule and trying to win it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
That's all I'm saying when we look at expectations. Again, doesn't mean we can't, but the SEC dragging their feet in terms of getting this out there. The Big Ten got out 2 days ago. The ACC got out, or I guess the Big Ten got out yesterday. The SEC got out today. So maybe the SEC will wait till Friday. You don't want to compete for headlines, although, like, you know, when the SEC drops, college football pays attention, right? Especially compared to the ACC. So maybe we'll get it any time, but I would imagine it's going to happen tomorrow. All right, that's the story of the day. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Early on at the PGA Championship, we got three guys tied at the top at 2-under. Scottie Scheffler, Bud Cauley, and Dustin Johnson. And then you got a whole handful of people, including Tiger Woods. And I believe Brooks Koepka about to go to 1-under as well. It's early, obviously. But they are underway. I think the furthest anyone's along on the course is through 9. So just halfway through for a handful of guys. And then you know, Tiger and them teed off at 11:30. So they're just on the first couple holes. Level of interest in that, Cam, the PGA Championship?
I'm a little bit more in now because one of my friends bet on somebody, and he said if he wins, he's buying me and my other friend of a box seats to a Falcons game.
Oh,
so,
wow. Who's he got?
He's got Jordan Spieth.
Oh,
which,
man.
Yeah, I was like, but hey, I'm all in now. Yeah.
Buddy, no, just I don't want to tell you, but I think Jordan Spieth started 2-over in his first three holes.
Perfect.
So I don't think what is it with Jordan Spieth? Why is everyone like Jordan Spieth?
I don't know. He had good odds though, so I think
he's 50-1
for
a reason. Yeah, he's 50-1 for a reason, but people bet on him because they remember him winning.
They know the name.
They remember him winning a couple of times, but I mean, Jordan Spieth, I don't feel like has won on the tour in a while in a tournament that matters, right? I mean, when's the last time he won?
Oof. It feels like a long time ago, but I can look it up.
I feel like he's lost his way. I hate Jordan Spieth. Everyone likes Jordan Spieth. I'm sorry for your friend. I hope that's not him texting saying, why is he making fun of Jordan Spieth? Why is he doing this to me? I hope that's not happening.
Nah, that was him. That was him.
His last major was 2015.
Yeah, I just mean, like, when was his last win in general?
It says 2017 Open Championship.
So he won the Open Championship in 2017, so would that be his last major?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you mean we think so? We got two different guys.
Well, it looks
Googling the internet. We can't get the right answer.
It says, when was
here.
Jordan Spieth's last victory? 2017 Open Championship, July 23rd.
Okay. So the Open Championship is the British Open,
yes.
Right? I mean, okay.
So that's definitely a major.
Yeah. Draven can't read the internet.
I guess not.
It's all right.
I guess not.
It's all right. We'll teach you. We'll help you grow with your Googling skills. Maybe you can equal Hayden's Googling skills. So that's his last win in general?
Yeah, it just his last victory, so yeah.
Okay.
That's over 3 years ago.
No box seats for
by
me.
About 3 weeks.
Yeah, I wouldn't get my hopes up on the box seats. I wouldn't get my hopes up on him, but maybe. I would say I'm rooting for you, but I'm not because I don't like Jordan Spieth, and I did not bet on Jordan Spieth, so I do not want Jordan
Spieth. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, plus two. Oof.
Bad start. You know, everyone was getting started. That 10th hole that, you know, half the people are starting on, playing really easy. Like, everyone came out and birdied. Everyone came out and birdied 10, playing really easy. And I don't know if Spieth started on the front nine or back nine, but starting out two over, pretty rough. Pretty rough.
Yep.
All right, you had some more college football notes. We have some attendance figures, at least somewhat around the country. I saw where Penn State basically said, we're not having any fans in the stands as it sits right now. It says that could change the later the season goes, but they are prepping for the first weeks. No fans at all. In compliance with, I guess, the state of Pennsylvania and what they want to have accomplished. You said Florida State made a similar, or yeah, Florida State made their announcement known?
They said they're going to limit home games to 20 to 25% of capacity, and I think they hold about 79,000. So, yeah, if they have fans, they announce that's kind of what they're doing there. So, teams are kind of starting to come out with
So, Florida State said plans. What?
20 to 25% of their capacity if they have fans.
Okay.
I'm not sure. They haven't announced, like, how they would allocate those or anything yet, but...
Sure. I mean, I think that's the percentage that we assumed, right?
Yeah, that's what most places seem
like
to
at most these days, like, I mean, 25% of fans, are you locking that in? Like, I mean, we've gone all over the place in terms of what we're looking for out of this college football season. At one point, it was, we just want to have one. Then another point, it was, we want 100% of fans. Now I'm asking, if I give you 20% of fans, are you locking that in? Or do you even care about the fans at this point? Because I don't think I care at all about the fans at this point. I haven't minded the attendance-less sports.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I will say college football is probably the sport that matters the most when it comes to fans in America, right? Football in general. I mean, you can say the NFL, you know, certain good home atmosphere is there. But college football definitely, like, the atmosphere is the biggest separator from it, right? Like, that's what college football has going for it compared to other sports.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the... Just the whole brand of college football. I'm kind of with you. I'm not really, like, super concerned with the fan bases right now. I'm kind of more just, can we get football in general at first? Then we can worry about it once we realize we're actually going to play football.
Where are you at on this, Hayden, with the fans? You are going to be on campus as a college student. This is going to be one of your, you know, you have a limited number of games as a college student to be able to go and have fan tickets and stuff like that. Like, how worried are you that students won't be allowed at games this year?
I mean, I'm pretty worried. I don't think that we're going to be able to go. I think they're going to give the priority to the season ticket holders, and I also don't think we're going to get refunded for losing that money. So
they call that the big orange screw.
Yeah. Even the Alabama said they were going to do it, and Tennessee has not said anything. They didn't even drop tuition for this semester.
Well, so. Does Alabama charge a different fee? Does Alabama charge, like, a ticket fee up front? Like, not a ticket fee, but, like, a season ticket opt-in type of thing?
Like an activity fee separate from tuition,
maybe? To me, that's what it seems like when I was reading about it, is that you have to, like, kind of opt-in, then you pay, like, $100 or something up front for the games. Like, instead of doing it game by game, like, you just buy season tickets.
That's how Georgia does it. Okay. I had a bunch of friends that went to UGA, and so, like, you had to basically, like, almost apply, because there was only a certain amount of tickets, so... You had to, try and opt in for that, and then you had to pay a fee up front before the season, and you got all the home game tickets. I'm assuming that's kind of how Bama is.
Okay. Which that's not what Tennessee does, right? Tennessee adds in some fees, and then you get a $10 option when it comes time to buy tickets.
You gotta hope you get it.
You get these random fees like library fee.
Is the library going to be open this year? I mean, I guess the library has to be open. Or?
They say it's going to be open, but I mean, I live pretty far from the library. So
I don't know how you keep that sanitized really either.
So they'll take out like every other computer and like hide them somewhere. Like, what is going to happen? They're just going to unplug it, or
they're probably just going to take a lot of the furniture out and just try to like space stuff out and put glass around everyone, I guess.
Jeez,
a lot of fees adding up for stuff that they won't, that you know, students won't really be able to use.
Which is insane, but big orange screw. It's a classic.
I mean, I would imagine this is everywhere. Like, you know, obviously we have students here at Tennessee, but I would imagine everywhere is trying to figure out what the hell to do. Everywhere is trying to figure out the best way to navigate this, and it seems like no one has an idea of how to do it. No one. How late do you think Tennessee is going to go before they make their decision? Like, do you think that will be – is that going to be an SEC decision? Is that going to be a school gets to make their own call? The states get to make the call? Because, you know, in the Big Ten, you know, with Penn State, we saw them basically say we are going to follow Pennsylvania's protocol. Does that mean we can expect Tennessee to do the same thing and the SEC to do the same thing?
I think it's going to come down to the school. So I don't think it's going to be like a conference-wide anything. I think it would be more kind of towards like Penn State's doing where it's a state thing. So
is Texas still going to have like try to have 50%? Because, I mean, that could be a big advantage if Texas A&M has 50% of fans and other places are doing 0 or 20%, right?
You'd be getting 50,000 in there.
Right, I mean, yeah, like, you know, 50% of what they can get in, you know, sometimes even 55,000, I think.
Yeah.
You get closer to 108, 109, if I'm not mistaken, but...
Yeah,
that might be a little extreme, but I thought they could pack out more than that. But either way,
it's more than Neyland, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if it was as much as I said it was more, instead of just maybe like a couple.
I think
hundred.
That's like Michigan's, but like 110 somewhere in there.
Mm.
So I mean, that could be a huge advantage if, say, like you're going on the road 1 week and there's zero fans there, and then the next week you have 50,000. Because yeah, they'll be spread out, but you can still generate some noise. And then how do you limit the decibels? Like, are you going to have to limit the decibels of crowd noise you can pump in? Because, I mean, are we going to be allowed to do artificial noise? Because Cam's Falcons got in trouble for that.
Yep.
Cam's Falcons got in trouble for pumping in too much crowd noise, making that home atmosphere seem a little louder. Like, if you do go with the piped-in crowd noise, is it just for the broadcast? Can you do it? Like, is it just for the broadcast?
That's what it seemed like for, like, NBA and
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so they're not doing that
I don't
in
think
the
it's
arena.
In the
okay.
arena,
it's
but...
in the stadium for the MLB.
It is in the stadium for the MLB?
Yep. Interesting.
Because when... just from the games I've watched, like the when the Nationals played the Blue Jays, the Blue Jays are playing in Buffalo now, but it was the first week of the season, so they hadn't got like it set up in Buffalo yet.
Sure.
So two of the games they played at Nationals Park, the Blue Jays were actually the home team.
Right.
So they played like the home team, what they would actually play in Toronto for
right.
them, and the Nationals were like the away team sounds like.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But it was actually in the arena.
Yeah, it was actually
or the stadium.
Yeah.
Interesting, huh? So yeah, they have to put a
limit.
Are
they
going to
maximize that? Like, is Mississippi State just going to be able to make nothing but cowbell ringing noises, you know, at 100 decibels, just nonstop?
That would be awful.
I mean, it'd give you a headache. Is Tennessee going to be able to fire Rocky Top? Like, I mean, is anybody going to have a band? Like, what is happening here? Why don't we know yet? We're going to have a band. Are we going to have turned down for what? Are we still going to, you know, go to the jungle when it's time to go to the jungle?
I will not miss that this year.
You're not going to miss the jungle?
No. I was ready for that to change. I said we get back to third down for what?
You know Jerry Pruitt has to like Guns N' Roses, though, right? You know.
That's probably why it's still there.
Yeah. Like, I like this. Play some more of that. So we're waiting to find out, but Penn State, Florida State's made their selection. We'll see how far it gets before Tennessee makes any calls. Hayden, season ticket holder, you know anybody season ticket holder? Like, you have any inside there?
Yeah, my parents are.
Yeah, have they heard anything at all about it? Because, I mean, the last number I saw was that we were over 50,000 in terms of season tickets sold.
Yeah, this is going to be their second year with season tickets. Like, they just got it since I've been a student here.
So are they going to be high priority or low priority, I think? Like, I wonder, because I feel like the ones who are grandfathered in that aren't making donations every year, they might be considered low priority despite having the tickets for 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
I feel like the people who are cutting a check every year will probably get priority because, you know, we care about money.
Hmm.
So have your parents been told anything about what to expect?
Well, they paid the donation like early on, obviously. And they don't think they're going to get that back, but they haven't paid for the tickets yet. I don't think anybody has.
So like they already paid the donation, and yeah, I mean, like, are they going to get the like a portion of the donation back, or is that just considered like, hey, you're cutting a check to the school? Sorry, like
the donation,
write off your taxes.
I don't think they're going to get back.
That's sickening. That's tough. Still a lot to unpack and figure out as we are, you know, getting closer and closer to the season. All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey.
Where do you want to go next? You want to go? We got another chapter in our Marlins movie, or we got some NBA coverage? Georgia, the go, Cameron.
Let's go with the Marlins. You want to go with the Marlins?
We can go with
the
Marlins. We have two new chapters in our Marlins movie as, I mean, look, I told you guys, Team of Destiny, Hayden, you're like, they're not going to win. Not only did they win one game yesterday, they won two games.
Two games. They've given up one run in the past three games.
Look at the pitching staff. They've got it working. They've got it figured out. They win. These seven-inning games might be perfect for them. Just get in, get out. A 1-0 win. I told you Cobb had nothing for him, although Cobb did pitch pretty good. If I'm Cobb, I'm like, come on, guys. Can I get at least one run of support? Do I have to take an L for giving up one run? Meanwhile, Hernandez come through. The bullpen came through.
Yep.
The lineup came through, and now they are 5-1 at the top.
They're getting bold, too. You see them tweet, we want Bama.
They're feeling it. The social media people have to be loving it. Like, you know, this is, would this be good or bad for baseball? Like, do you think Major League Baseball would be happy if Derek Jeter's team of misfits that didn't adhere to any of the social distancing protocol and put the season in jeopardy in the second week of the year, if they went on and just became really, really good? Actually, it's the first weekend of the year. Yeah, they played three games. The first weekend of the year, put the season in jeopardy and then find a way to make the playoffs in a season where, you know, no one expected them to be worth a damn. Because I feel like if the Marlins are good, that's just going to put a huge asterisk on this whole season. Like, if they get hot for 50 games and find a way into the top eight, like, I feel like that just puts a whole asterisk on this whole thing.
The COVID made them more powerful.
Maybe that's the key. Maybe get the COVID. If you're listening, Jeremy Pruitt, just something to consider. It's obviously working for the Miami Marlins, right? That's the only team we know that had the Rona run through their locker room completely. 18 cases, and they're undefeated with it.
Yeah, like, the Phillies have nothing going on right now.
I mean, they won a game on Sunday. on that Sunday with the Rona. They already knew that everyone was sick. And they still play, and they still won. Maybe we're attacking this virus all wrong. Maybe those of us who aren't considered, high danger, maybe we should get it. Maybe it's a PED of sorts.
Increases our power, yeah. Man, yeah, like, they had been the underdog in the past three games, and now Vegas is like,
What do we do with the Marlins?
They're the favorites now for the game tonight. They're still playing the Orioles. The Orioles probably got to be tired of them by now.
The Orioles were like, hey, we are having not a bad start to the season. Then they get to Miami, and they're like, hey, we're very terrified of getting the Rona, but also, like, the Marlins are beating our ass. Does Miami have the best home field advantage right now in baseball? Like, you have the nightclubs, and, like, usually you have South Beach that's distracting people, but I can't imagine that these teams are feeling good about going into Miami right now, right? You'd feel like you're getting sick.
Not at all, yeah.
Well, they haven't played a game at home yet, so.
Oh, they're not playing at home?
No, they're playing in Baltimore.
Man, came into their house and.
Oh, no, wait. They're playing tonight, though, in Miami.
In Miami, okay.
So they're back. But they're allowing them to play at home, right? Like, you're just saying they hadn't been at home.
Yeah, they played the last couple games.
They
played the Phillies away.
But now they're headed to Miami.
Okay.
I didn't know if, like, baseball was banning them from being able to go down there right now just because, like, hey, you've lost your privilege of home games. I feel like that would have been a fair compromise, right? Like, hey, you got everybody sick. You didn't care about this. No home games for you. We're not sending anybody down to Miami. Should they even be sending people to Florida? That's a whole different question.
Yeah. Jeez.
Should people be going to a hot spot anyways? Like, who knows? That's something to consider, but Miami, I feel like they got the best home field advantage in sports right now. Come down to South Beach, you might get sick.
Yep.
You might find some women that make you sick. You might get sick from a woman. All of it. And then you got to dodge the cocaine.
Yeah, you have a long night, may not make it back to the hotel in time for the bus to the stadium.
The whole thing. Best home field in sports. The Marlins. Shout out to them.
Dream team.
5-1. 83% of their games, Hayden. 83% of their games. You scared yet as a Nationals fan?
He's terrified.
No, not yet, but
we'll Braves see. Found a way to. Braves came out with a ragtag lineup yesterday for the game against the Blue Jays. They pretty much had everyone out. Albies out. Freddie Freeman's like, I'm cool. I'll sit too. And the Braves lineup kind of got shut down as they lose to the Blue Jays.
I think they just reinstated somebody.
Was it Markakis?
No, he got reinstated yesterday, but I think it was okay. Will Stevens. Is that the guy?
I don't know who the hell Will Stevens is.
I think that was it. Let me see if I can double check the name. But yeah, they were reinstating somebody off that was, I guess, had COVID or something. They were bringing back.
I don't think the Braves have had an off day yet.
Have they not?
I don't think so.
I was about to say,
and yeah, they have played 13 games, which is the most. You know, I feel like that's the most in the league that I've seen. You know,
yeah.
Everyone else maxed out at 12. The Braves have played 13. So, you know, the Yankees, I guess they had the Yankees have a rainout one day.
They had a rainout against the.
I know that, like, opening night they had one against the Nationals, but that game counted as a.
They have one against the Orioles, I think.
Okay, so they've only played 11 games.
But they also had the Phillies games postponed from when the Phillies played the Marlins. That series got postponed.
Cubs have played 12. Yeah, the Braves are leading right now with 13 games. Sheesh. So you're probably right because the season.
I don't think they have.
The season started for them, what, last Friday? 13 days ago?
Yeah.
They played every single day?
Yep.
Yeah. It was Will Smith is the guy they are activating off.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, so they're getting the pitcher back.
Okay.
Which will
good
help
timing
them.
For them. Braves not off tonight either, by the way. Yeah. They're going to play again. It's tough to not have an off day in these, especially when you're dealing with injuries, right? I mean, that seems like
they
seems
probably
pretty
got
tough.
One coming up, I'm sure.
They don't have one, Hayden, until Thursday the 13th.
Jeez.
So next Thursday, yep, they got they play the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
a week or so.
6, 7 days a week.
Wow. That's 20 games in a row.
I mean, that's how all these teams are going to be. So, like, it's going to be tough on everyone and be fatigued. And it's wild because, you know, Freeman set out yesterday because just like, hey, he's played 12 games in a row. He had the Rona before the season. And, you know, maybe he's tired. But it's the equivalent of sitting out 3 games when you look at it. I mean, or 2.5 games. And then you look and, like, you're going to get 20 games in before you have an off day.
Yep.
That's position players. We're not even talking about, like, your pitching staff and your bullpen. And if you're a team that, you know, has pitching injuries to it, you're extra exerted already. It's just going to be a grind of a season. I think whenever you see the season actually get started, it makes a lot more sense to me why they were like, you know what, let's just expand the playoffs to 8 teams.
Yeah.
I think it's the fair thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, at first I thought it was kind of a gimmick, and I was like, well, they're trying to generate some more TV money. They're trying to make up money. But also, like, just from a competitive standpoint, when you look and see what these teams are having to go through, and you look at the strain, and, like, just the unusual nature of this season, I think it's okay to have a gimmick and to allow more teams in. Because a team like the Braves are going to be ran to the ground. If you have a pitching staff that maybe isn't strong in the bullpen and you are just playing so many games in a row and your starters get fatigued or whatever, like, or vice versa, you know, however it works with the pitching, you should be allowed a little bit of a margin for error here. I'm okay with that.
The Braves playing 20 games in a row is just wild to me because even though the Nationals were off like last weekend for playing the Marlins, they still had like scheduled off day on this past Monday and today. Like even without the COVID thing, they were going to be off on last Monday and today.
Interesting.
So like that just seems kind of unfair to me. But
yeah, I don't know what the quirk is. I don't know if it's going to be backloaded where they get days off. I don't know if that's going to be what happens here. I mean, I'd imagine they eventually get days off, so they're coming eventually. But yeah, that's they get 2 Thursdays off, so they get the 13th and the 20th off. I guess it's Thursday, and then they get a Monday off, so they're gonna get 3 off days in the next 3 weeks. They get Thursday, Monday.
Okay,
so they'll be able to kind of catch up there. You never know, like you don't ever really hear the term. Load management in baseball. Like it does it, you know, that's always an NBA thing. I wonder if this season will stay that way with baseball or if that becomes a part of conversation whenever you start looking at fatigue. And, you know, they play 162 games. Like we know that they play a lot of games and, you know, players will take, a stint to the DL for 10 days, with a minor injury, or you'll get a Sunday game off every now and then. Or if you're doing the get out of town, if you're on the road, right, and you're doing the Thursday 12:30 game or the Thursday 2:00 game before you go to a different city. Sometimes your stars will get a day off. But this year, I wonder if you'll just see more of like, hey, we've played 8 games in a row. We need a day off. There's no built-in break here. There's no easy way to take a day off. We just have to do it ourselves. The conversation that surrounds it in basketball is obviously different with the most guys only being in town one day type of thing.
once a year. In a baseball series, theoretically, you know, even if you had fans, you had three chances to see them.
Yeah.
So the Stars play in two of them, like, you can't really complain. Just a different setup. Anything else about baseball? Yankees take their second loss of the year.
Yep.
Tiger with a bad par putt there. He sunk a long birdie putt, was two under, and then just rolled out, lipped out a par putt there as he drops back to one over, and Hayden shakes his head. Anything else from baseball, though, last night? Like I said, the Yankees lose their second game of the season.
Who did they lose to?
They lost to the Phillies.
Okay, so that's a makeup game, maybe?
Yeah, that's okay. A makeup game. They play a doubleheader. The Yankees won the second of the doubleheader, but they are 9-2. But they took their loss. The Cubs win again, sitting at 10-2. So you're having a couple of the big teams coming out early and trying to distance themselves a bit.
You see how the Dodgers game ended?
I did not.
With that, it was basically a throw out at home plate to win the game.
It's always exciting.
The tying run was coming in, and yeah, they threw him out at home plate. So that was a really cool sequence there.
That was against the Padres, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Padres got off to a pretty decent start too. That you know, the wild card race will be fun. Like, baseball is going to find themselves with some really good races, I think, whenever you start opening up these extra spots. I think the shortened season, you can only get so much separation from everybody. You know what I mean? Like, the middle of the pack is going to be the middle of the pack, and it's not long enough to have anybody really lose distance, except like the Pirates. The Pirates are 2-10. They're in danger of like being eliminated already. They've lost 7 in a row.
Yeah, jeez.
But everyone else, like even the Mets, who are 5-8, I feel like can win a couple series here and there and be hovering around 500. The Pirates probably the only ones that are going to be completely out of it. Maybe the Diamondbacks. Maybe.
What's the Tigers' record right now?
Well, I'm just looking at the NL. Sorry.
Okay.
We were talking NL. The Tigers 5-5. Like, I don't know if they'll fall out of it. The Royals 3-10. Like, they're behind it early. Same as the Rangers. So like the AL might run away with it. There might just be like 7 or 8 teams that are just clearly better. I don't know. We'll see how that shakes out. There's not as much separation there as there is in the NL. Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio. All right, update us on our NBA bubble, Cam. What we got? We got the Grizzlies losing again, dropping to 0-4.
Yeah, they are struggling at the moment. They may be dead in the water a little bit.
Another game where they had a chance to win. They were tied in the fourth quarter and then just couldn't close the deal.
Didn't have enough.
How it's happened pretty much all four games in the bubble. They've had a chance. You know, against Portland, that game ends up in overtime. Against the Spurs, they tie it before losing. The Pelicans, I want to say, it was like a 3 or 4 point game at one point in the fourth quarter. And then yesterday, tie game. And then the Jazz just got separation and pulled off.
Yep.
Grizzlies 0-4, staring 0-8 in the face. Only a one-game lead over the Blazers and a two-game lead over the Spurs and Pelicans.
Yeah, Portland plays at Denver today. The Pelicans play against Sacramento today as well at 1:30. So that one will tip off pretty early. And Phoenix plays Indiana. You know, Phoenix has been pretty good. So
yeah, no, the huge games today. I mean, the Pelicans playing basically elimination games every night as they have been hopped by a couple teams, and they're trying to hold off the Suns. Like, Pelicans need to win tonight. They're playing the Kings. Like, this is a game that you have to win if you are New Orleans. New Orleans favored by 4.5. Like, you should come in and make a statement. Although the Kings playing for their lives too, I just think the Kings don't have as realistic of a shot without Bagley, and just the regular season has gone.
Yeah, not at all. And stuff yesterday as well. Like, Boston blew out that makeshift Brooklyn Nets team, making the Bucks look bad. But
Boston looks good. That was a good bounce back from them after they lost to a Jimmy Butler-less Heat team that was on a back to back the day before. So good for the Celtics to take care of business and just beat the hell out of a Nets team that's just trying to get to the playoffs and then maybe reevaluate things. What do we think about the East? Because a huge matchup tonight, I guess this afternoon at 4 o'clock, Heat versus Bucks, TNT, 4 o'clock. The Heat, 2-0 against the Bucks this year.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, we'll see if they can keep that going. Is Jimmy Butler back for them? I don't know.
I don't know if Jimmy's back or not. See if you can find that for us, Draven, if Butler's playing today. I know that the Bucks, coming off of one bad performance against the Nets, and then a kind of a collapse against the Rockets on Sunday. So these games don't necessarily matter for the Bucks, but like the Heat, I would imagine like the idea that they're 2-0 against Milwaukee and want to keep that going. You're shaking your head yes, as Jimmy Butler is.
Jimmy Butler is out.
Jimmy Butler's out.
Goran Dragic's point guard is questionable as well.
Goran Dragic hurt his ankle at the end of their last game, so he's questionable, and Butler's out again, okay? But, you know, we'll get to see Bam versus Giannis. Bam versus Giannis has been a good matchup all year, so that'll be fun. Ken, what do you think about the East right now in terms of getting ready for the playoffs? Bucks the one seed, running away with it, but the Raptors holding the two. The Celtics are right there. The Heat are right there. The Sixers kind of are there, but not really.
The Raptors look good. I think the Raptors are looking to try and make a statement this year, and they have looked really good so far. And I mean, I think they're going to be a real threat to come out of the East to win it.
I saw them tweeting that they haven't lost a game in like 120 days or something like that.
Jeez.
Because I guess they are undefeated in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And then before the bubble had won like four in a row. So they haven't lost since a trip to Denver in maybe like late February.
Dang. Yeah, they've been good. They've been good. And they're going to – I mean, it's going to be super nice for them because they're going to be the opposite side of, you know, of course, the bracket from the Bucks. So they'll get the Bucks' worst-case, you know, conference championship.
Just as they did last year where they beat them.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, they've been – a lot of teams have been there before, so I think they're not scared of anything. And I think they are trying to prove a point this year that they can win even after losing, you know, such a big player.
Well, they've been great the last 3 years. In terms of just, like, winning a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, like, when it was DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they would run up against LeBron and couldn't get past that. against him. Then they had a similar season last year in terms of wins, and then you had Kawhi, and you were able to navigate through there and win. This year, they the alpha of the team, I mean, Siakam's probably the best player, but the alpha of the team's Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
And Kyle Lowry playing with a new sense of confidence. He's always been a confident person, but there's always been question marks about whether or not he could get it done. And, you know, he got it done in the finals. And I want to say in Game 6, he was awesome in Game 6, in the clinching game that won them the championship. So, you know, Kyle Lowry, not afraid of anybody, as you saw in that Lakers game. I mean, he was just busting shot after shot over the Lakers. The Raptors kind of locked into that two seed, so they're going to get a bye. You know, both the Bucks and the Raptors will get a bye in the round ones, I feel like, between Brooklyn and Orlando. Like, I think both those teams are completely outmatched. And then you know, the two seed will probably grab the Celtics, whereas the Bucks will probably grab the Heat. And then I think you're going to have a really good Final Four in the Eastern Conference. And I do think you could convince me that any of those four teams win the East.
Yeah, I will agree for sure.
The Bucks obviously the favorite. You don't have to convince me very much. Like, Giannis just better than everybody. Their defense better than everybody. And, you know, they hit some shots and they win. The Raptors, we know, are tested. We know they have the defense. I think they're the best coach team in the league, so you don't have to convince me there too much. And then the Celtics, maybe right now, the most talent.
Yeah.
If Kemba can be healthy and Jason Tatum can rise, you know, to, you know, get on, he's on the cusp of superstardom already almost. Like, you know, Tatum's almost at the point now where he's breaking into being a top 10 player. If he ascends in the playoffs and leads that team, like, they could 100% get to the finals. They could 100% win a championship, in my opinion. And then the Heat, you might have to take that one might be the one that you have to convince me a little bit more, simply on the fact that they'll have to get hot and shoot good from three. Like, you'll have to have Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson hitting a bunch of shots. You'll have to have Andre Iguodala, you know, hitting shots like he did for Golden State the last couple of years. And you'll have to have Jimmy Butler living up to, like, the billing of Jimmy Butler, like, you know, the legend of Jimmy Butler. Like, Jimmy Butler will have to play as good as Jimmy Butler thinks he is. If that makes sense. Like, Jimmy Butler walks around as if he's the best player in the league, and he will have to back that up and, like, be a top 10 player to take the Heat to the finals. But again, any of those four teams, I would fully believe, could win the East.
Yeah, like, I don't think the Heat have the same talent as the other two teams necessarily, but I think they work really well together. Like, they're really good on the whole team aspect. So, yeah, I think that gives them a shot as well. And, I mean, yeah, you nailed the hit the nail on the head with the other three teams. But, yeah, that's it's almost wide open there a little bit. At least a lot closer than I think people thought it was going to be.
I still think the Bucks would be the favorite. I still think the Bucks would be the favorite. But, like, if you're telling me Bucks versus the Phil in the East, like, I'm taking the Phil. Like, I think one of those four teams, or one of those three teams, excuse me, has a chance of knocking them off. Like, they're going to get tested in two series. The semifinals against the Celtics would be tough, or against the you know, who'd I say was the four seed?
Heat. The Heat are holding the four right now. They're a game up on the Pacers at the moment.
The four seed Heat against the Bucks. Like, again, the Heat 2-0 against them, and, you know, today will be fun to watch them play. And Bam Adebayo is one of the only guys in the league who is fast enough and strong enough to check Giannis. So matchup-wise, you have you have a – I don't want to call him an equal, but you have a solution. You have a alternative. You have a person who can guard him one-on-one. So I'm looking forward to the Knights game, even though Jimmy Butler's not playing. Giannis and Bam still will be fun. Mm-hmm. And this Bucks team hasn't looked good lately. Do they get up for this game? They're 9-point favorites, so that'll be a question for me. What about in the West? Anything change for you in the West?
It just looks like seeding's a little bit super possible to be shifting a little bit. We got about three teams between 4 and 6 all within like half a game of each other.
Yeah, 4 and 6 is up for grabs as the Jazz, Thunder, and Rockets all sitting there, 8.5, 9 games back of first place, which means they're basically tied. The Nuggets are only a half game back from the Clippers, despite coming to the bubble and being there shorthanded. The Nuggets have
won 2 in a row now.
They've took advantage of a little bit of a soft schedule, winning those two games, but they have won those two games, and you add Murray back, you add Harris back, and then maybe if Michael Porter Jr. keeps balling, that Nuggets team, I feel like they're ceiling raises a lot if they have a legitimate scoring option at the wing, an athletic freak like Michael Porter Jr., who, keep in mind, should have been the number one pick in his draft. Yeah. His injury is what took him out. He is talented enough to have been a number one pick, and you pair him alongside an All-NBA caliber player in Jokic, and that team all of a sudden, maybe you feel
dangerous.
Like, has some dogs that can compete with the Clippers in a series.
Yeah, for sure. And then, like we saw with Oklahoma City, blew out the Lakers last night. The Lakers couldn't really get any shots to go down. Oklahoma City's one of those teams that's kind of like the Heat, where they don't have the best talent in their conference, but they work really well together. Chris Paul's is running a tight ship over there. Billy Donovan's kind of saved his where we thought he was kind of sliding as a coach. He's looked good this year, and I guess home court doesn't really matter. So the 4 and 5, doesn't really matter which spots you get there.
Right, 4 and 5 doesn't matter.
But the Rockets. I'm not sure. I mean, if I'm the Rockets, I wouldn't want to play Denver first round. I don't think.
I think they match up pretty good with Denver. Like if I'm the Rockets, I'm not afraid of anybody. Although If I was going to be afraid of somebody, it's going to be somebody with size. So, I would be worried about a Lakers in a series, but I think everyone's going to be afraid of the Lakers. But, Steven Adams and Gallo, a pretty big front line, a pretty athletic front line, in terms of – I really wouldn't want to play the Rockets. If I'm the Rockets, I really wouldn't want to play the Thunder. Chris Paul FU factor. Mm-hmm. If I'm James Harden, if I'm James Harden and Mike D'Antoni, I don't want to lose to – Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And I don't want Russell Westbrook looking on the other side and seeing people from the Thunder that he wants to prove wrong and trying to go out
trying
and dominate
take over
that series.
Himself. Yeah, right. That's where it goes downhill.
So if I'm the Rockets, I would be a little afraid of playing the Thunder just for that reason. Mm-hmm. But tonight, again, great set of games. This is probably the best day so far of the bubble. You get the Pelicans as a teaser, but then Heat Bucks, and then the two hottest teams in the bubble, the Pacers and Suns.
Yeah. Pacers, the Suns trying to sneak into that, at least the play-in.
Clippers, Mavericks could be a 2-7 first-round matchup. Blazers versus Nuggets. I told you the Nuggets are chasing the 2 seed. The Blazers chasing the 8 or 9 seed. And then you get Lakers, Rockets. So I think this is the best day so far of NBA basketball since the restart.
Yeah, this is a really good day. Really good day.
We'll see if the bubble comes through today and what feels like an opening. It feels like this could be an opening round, playoff matchup. It feels like this is similar to those type of games. So we'll see just how good the bubble basketball can be. All right, stick with us. We'll switch gears. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. I don't know how much you guys are into recruiting right now, since Tennessee has kind of, slowed down a little bit. Tennessee has slowed down a little bit. We're at 5 right now on 247. We've been passed by Oregon and Clemson and Alabama. Ohio State still holding down the number one spot. But have you guys noticed with all what's going on in Miami? I feel like Manny Diaz has been, recruiting his ass off. He just landed another 5-star defensive lineman.
Oh, yeah. I saw that guy was deciding between Florida and Miami.
Yeah, Leonard Taylor just picked five-star defensive lineman Leonard Taylor picked Miami. Another five-star for Miami as they add him to James Williams, a guy they had got recruited there, I guess at the towards the end of July. So that's two five-stars in a good three-week stretch for Manny Diaz. Just something to keep in mind.
Well, you got a five-star yesterday.
We got a five-star yesterday?
Yep.
I missed that. Who was it?
It was a kicker.
A five-star kicker?
Yep.
Did they rank kickers as five stars?
Well, it's like for the Coles, like kicking section or whatever.
Oh, so like
it's not actually like I don't think a kicker can get higher than like a three star.
Yeah,
like
I didn't think seven so.
Or ESPN, but like Coles is like their own rankings or whatever, and he's five star on there, so he's actually pretty good if you watch his videos.
55,
60,
and 65 yards.
Okay, he's hitting 55, 60, and 65 yarders in practice. That's cool. Like, is he using a tee or is it just straight off the grass? Can you tell?
Using a little bit of a
tee.
Little holder, the little holder thing.
Yeah, the little
Can you use that in college? You don't get to use that in college, do you?
No, unless it's like windy on a kickoff, maybe. Like if
no. I mean like a tee on the bottom. Like there's nothing.
Oh,
on the ground.
No.
Is it kicking off
yeah.
the grass? Is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't. I know you don't get a holder in college.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah.
I thought you were like a little platform he's kicking off of. I mean, 65 is impressive. Like,
yeah, it's off the ground.
But I need to see him come and kick in college before I say anything. But I mean, like the idea of kicking being important is obviously. True, right? I mean, special teams a big part of the game, so I would rather have a good kicker than not have a good kicker.
No fans is going to help that, too.
You think no fans is going to help the kicker?
Yeah.
Less pressure.
No. I mean, the pressure is still going
to
be there.
Well, I don't know. I feel like you'll hear more of the other team talking trash to you while you're about to kick.
You're going to hear your teammates yelling at you. Damn it, Brandon! Again? I hear this guy goes again. Because you know that has to be the feeling whenever you're like a lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And you sometimes, unless you're just completely disgusted with your guy, you'll go dap him up, you'll go give him a head pat, and be like, hey, man, it's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'll see that exasperated, slow turnaround, like, damn it. We just drove down the field.
You have one job.
I'm out here playing, you know, 12 snaps to get us down the field. We're grinding out 4 or 5 yards a pop, and then you come on and ruin it all with one kick. Just completely ruin it all, Brandon. Damn you. Damn you to hell. And you try to act like it doesn't bother you, but your body language tells the story. So a five-star kicker. Is this guy from Tennessee, Hayden? Or?
Yeah, he's a West Tennessee All-State kicker.
Okay.
Let me find his name. Hold on.
Tennessee boy. Five-star kicker.
Okay.
I'm in. Let's go.
Woohoo.
Would I rather have a five-star defensive lineman from Miami?
Maybe.
Or would I rather have just a kicker that's a five-star? Give me the kicker every time.
JT Carver is his name.
JT Carver?
First team All-State, 2019 All-West Tennessee.
Well,
first
Jesus,
team.
I'd hope he'd be first team All-State. I mean, if he's a five-star kicker.
Yeah, he got 3.8 GPA, so pretty smart.
I don't think that means he's smart.
Oh, well.
It means he does his work.
I mean, it means he's a high school athlete that, like, I mean, just show up and do your work in high school. I mean, that 3.8 doesn't make me think he's smart, but it makes me think that he'll do his work. I'm not worried about his eligibility issues, if that's what you're getting at. Like, I feel confident that he will be academically eligible. But him having a 3.8 doesn't, you know, make me feel like he's smart. But he works. He does his job.
Mm-hmm.
So I come to you with Miami's recruiting, and you tell me that we got a five-star kicker. But okay, give me the kicker. It's important. Important position, right?
Yeah, we're going to have somebody after Smaglia leaves.
It has been really nice to have Smaglia. Like, yeah. I will admit that, like, after a, you know, there's been some stretches where we couldn't really necessarily trust our kicker, but to have Smaglia, it is nice to know that your kicker is almost automatic from anywhere under 50, right?
Yeah, kicker's one of those things that you don't really normally care about until it starts hurting the team. I mean, you're like, oh, we could have used a better kicker.
I mean, yeah, like, ask Alabama. Like, yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's they have to have the least amount of confidence of any fan base ever, like, when the kicker goes out to kick, like, they know he's not hitting a big kick. And it's cost them some games. But I will say, like, it's nice to go out there and feel like, you know, just to take the Ravens, for example. They haven't had to worry about a kick from Justin Tucker in years. You know, if you get inside the 35-yard line or even around the 35-yard line, you got 3 points if you don't mess up.
Yeah.
There's value in that. Tennessee, I won't say like getting around the 35, but if you get to the 25, like you can go ahead and say 3 points, in my opinion at least.
Yeah, oh yeah, you should absolutely be able to say that. Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt being on the other side of those Alabama games, I bet he is like, hey, we need to value this position. Like, yeah. If we're going to play these close, tightly contested games, and you know Jeremy Pruitt wants to play close, tightly contested games, I feel like, with his just let the defense shut people down and you just give him enough points. Like, to him, field goals are important. I don't imagine we'll ever have an offense that's just out there scoring touchdowns at will, at least for a while. We're always going to need some field goals, especially in closely contested games in the SEC. But Manny Diaz, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty big benefit for Tennessee as well. Like we need them to step their game up. Absolutely. We need them to become good again and start beating Florida head to head. Like if Manny Diaz isn't there and it's Mark Richt or some loser before Mark Richt, like this guy probably ends up in Florida.
Yeah, we need them in Florida State to definitely box out Florida on some of those big in-state prospects if we don't get them.
Yeah, it'd be nice, right? It'd be nice if they could, like, you know, Miami's not a threat for us right now. Like, we're, you know, none of our goals are stopped by Miami at this point. So, you know, Miami getting back is ultimately good for us again, because if it wasn't for Miami, this 5-star defensive lineman would have ended up at Florida, and that means he probably would end up hurting your quarterback at some point or landing on your running back the wrong way and hurting him.
Yeah, that would be our luck, yeah. But, the kicker, nice.
We'll see what happens with recruiting. Like, I mean, have there been any updates about that? Have you guys seen anything about in terms of off-campus, like getting people on-campus things? Because, like, the guy who committed while we were off, we got a defensive back while we were gone that got some high praises. We didn't even talk about him because we were gone, obviously.
Demarius McGee?
Yeah.
I'm looking at him right now, actually. I was looking at the top prospects in Florida just to see if Florida's gotten any for the 2021.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's number one, Alabama. Miami's got the next two. Alabama is projected to get this guy. Alabama, Miami, Tennessee, Alabama, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, Clemson.
So currently Florida with none of the top 15 guys in their class, basically?
The highest guy they have out of Florida is number 22 in Florida.
So I like to see.
A 4-star wide receiver.
That seems to be something that's going to catch up to Dan Mullen in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, whenever, if Dan Mullen eventually, like, starts headed back down a little bit and, like, the talent, you know, the talent discrepancy is gone and, like, you know, he can't, or the talent discrepancy has actually swung the other way where he can't, like, maximize his team's potential and, like, overcome being, you know, outmatched talent wise. You're going to easily point to say, look, man, like, you got to recruit your state. Like, here at Tennessee, we do that a little bit to our coaches, right, in terms of you need some in-state recruiting, you need some in-state recruiting. But Tennessee is one thing. Like, Florida is another. Like, you are the only successful program of the last decade outside of the Jameis Winston years. Right? And, you know, Miami had the 1 year where they were 10-0 before they lost, you know, to Pittsburgh to cost themselves a chance to play for a championship. But, like, Florida has no excuse not to be by far ahead and away, but better than both of those teams. And right now you can't even come close to protecting your own state. Like, it's Florida. It's a big state. There's a lot of schools. There's a lot of talent. Like, that's a national hotbed, so I get that, like, you're going to have to handle a lot of people coming down there. But, bro, like, you have to be able to get at least one of the top 20 guys, right?
Yeah. You should be splitting some of the top 10 if you're them.
Like, you would think, like, if you're a Florida fan, like, you're probably even not even that happy with it. But if I told you, like, hey, you'll get four of the top 20 guys, you'll say, okay, that's about the bare minimum of what we should be doing, right?
Yeah.
Four of the top 20.
Yeah, there's 43 4 and 5 stars in Florida, and Florida has four committed of the 43.
Four of the 43?
Yeah, and they could possibly get another, but they're 50-50 with another school. But, yeah, four of the top 43 prospects, which are 4 and 5 stars in Florida, are committed to Florida.
That seems problematic. And, again, that seems like you're easily going to be able to point to something whenever this goes sideways and say, what are you doing? Like, right now, Florida, 11th in recruiting, 11 4-stars, 12 3-stars. That doesn't seem very good for Florida.
Yeah.
Like, having an average below 90 doesn't seem very good for Florida. That's where they're at right now.
Yeah, when you have all that talent in your backyard, you feel like you should be able to pull some of that in.
Well, it's not like having talent in your backyard, Cameron. Like, it's like I said, like, you're winning, too. Like, yeah, you have success. Like, you have a coach that has put people in the NFL. Like, you got Dak Prescott in the NFL. Like, there's guys from Mississippi State that he's put there. Florida's put guys there. Like, you have everything you need there. Like, Tennessee sometimes has to fight uphill because, A, like, the in-state talent hasn't been as good, and, B, yeah, like, we haven't won as often, and, C, like, you know, starting here, Jeremy Pruitt hadn't proven anything as a head coach.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, for Jeremy Pruitt's first head coaching stop, he hasn't proven anything, especially in the SEC, as a head coach. You know, you can't say that for Dan Mullen. You can't say that for Florida. Yet I look around, and they have 23 commitments and only, what'd I say, 10 four-stars? Is that what I said? The 10 or 11?
I think, yeah, he said 11 four-stars, 11 four-stars, 12, yeah, three-stars.
11 four-stars, 12 three-stars.
Yep.
So you only have two spots left. And right now you're sitting at number 11. Now, you know, I get that you can always process people, but that seems like something that's going to catch up to Florida. And if you're a Tennessee fan, which I assume you are if you're listening to this show, you are closing that gap, if not sending it the other way, in terms of talent. And that has to get you excited. Because, as I've said all offseason, to me, this goal is about the season this year is about catching and passing Florida. And Tennessee is doing that right now.
Yeah, closing the gap for sure.
Tennessee is doing that, and Miami has to feel like they're getting some swagger too. Like, man, Diaz coming in again. You know, somebody who hasn't proven anything as a head coach, really. I mean, what'd they go last year? Did they even make a bowl game last year? I don't think they did, right? Or if they did, it was right at six wins.
I thought they went 6-6.
Okay, if they did, it was right at six wins. Maybe they did.
But I think they've got two of the top 10 players.
Yeah, I mean, they have two. They got 2 5 stars. They got to have two of the top 10. Diaz is recruiting his ass off right now, and that's to get you excited. Now, if I'm Florida State, I'm like, wait a second, guys. Like, what are we doing here? Like, Miami's got an ace recruiter building something. Like, I haven't seen Money Mike Norvell do anything other than, like, make his players mad. Like, if Florida State's recruiting well, I haven't seen it. Newsflash, Florida State not recruiting well. They have 14 commitments right now, 4 of them, 4 stars. 10 3-stars. So at least they got some room where they can work on it, but they're outside the top 20 right now. And they weren't a factor for this 5-star defensive lineman. He didn't even give them any mind. That would make me a little nervous if I was a Florida State fan. We'll see what Tennessee does. Hayden, are there any recruits that we're even, like, circling around right now? Like, I know, like, we're still trying to, you know, you're still worried about keeping Dylan Brooks, like, you're still worried about him and Terrence Lewis.
And Terrence,
like,
Lewis,
those are your two prized possessions of this class so far. You're worried about keeping them.
We're still trying to get Amarius Mims because he was supposed to announce a week or so ago.
Uh-huh.
And then he pushed his commitment back a whole month but cut Oklahoma out because he had a top 6 and he cut Oklahoma out. So we made the top 5.
I feel like the last I read about that, we were getting kind of left behind Auburn and Georgia there, I feel like, is what I read.
Us, Auburn.
Was it Georgia?
Georgia, Alabama, and I want to say Oregon.
Yeah, but I was going to say.
I don't think we're in the running for
it. I think it's kind of circling around a top 2 in terms of Georgia and Auburn. The last I read about it.
Yeah.
Anybody else, like, on the radar coming across soon? I mean, I know there's still time, but, you know, we just haven't had a shot in the arm lately.
No, but I had no idea that the guy from Florida that committed last week, I didn't even think he was on our radar. But,
well, they had talked about him a lot on, like, the recruiting sites, like 247 and Rivals had talked a lot about him. And it's wild because he just had such a discrepancy. Cam, did you even see, like, his profile? Like, he was a high 4-star on, like, ESPN and 247.
Yeah, he's number 91 on 247.
And then Rivals had him as, like, a 2-star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Where they
see
just
that.
Like, didn't even, like, really rank him at all. What was his name again? Demarius McGee, is that who that was?
Yes.
Yeah, so, like, you had I believe it was a Rivals guy say that he was his favorite player in the class, or was it
It was a 247
guy. 247
guy.
Okay, that would make sense since they had him ranked. Said, like, this is one of my favorite guys in the class. So, you know, Tennessee did get someone who had the coaches really excited.
Was that Steve Whitfong who said that?
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah. I didn't know if it was him or Shannon Terry. I got confused on that. I wasn't sure.
I'm pretty sure it was Will Fong. But I'm excited to see McGee and the Rucker guy who's also kind of underrated but has like a crazy offer list, just like McGee. I think that.
Is he a defensive back as well?
Yeah.
See, that's the one position like I'm going to give this coaching staff the benefit of the doubt on. Like, if they're excited about a guy, then I'm going to get excited about them too, just because they have a long track record of success between Pruitt and Anzi. Like, they know what the hell they're doing at defensive back. Like, get all the guys they want. I'm not going to nitpick those guys. Like, I don't care if Rivals rates him a 2-star. Like, just get him in. We'll figure it out. There's your recruiting roundup. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We've got like 1,000 bumpers in there, Hayden. How are you going to play 2 songs back to back? The same one twice. How are we going to do this?
Well, I didn't think that commercial was that short, so I kind of panicked over here and just clicked the one my cursor is on.
Well,
my apologies for that.
Draven, please mark that down. There is the first mistake from Hayden for the day. You did good, though. An hour and 47 minutes, that's the first mistake, right?
Yeah.
Like, the show got started a little bit late, but that's okay. It was fun. It's like only 1.5 after the clock, and it's fun. We've come a long way. We've fallen a long way from the show starts at 12. That used to be the motto around here. We have fallen a long way from that, but it's okay. First mistake, not a bad setup. Not bad. Appreciate Tweeter Big Orange Boy for sharing this. I had saw this last night. There is a connection with this kicker and Ty Simpson. So maybe Jeremy Pruitt's trying to do a little combo action here. And usually when you have to do the combo action, you maybe take a guy that's not very talented. Right, like sometimes you'll take the friend that's maybe not as good on the hopes that the really good player will come and play for you. So at least in Tennessee's situation, like they get this kicker, and he is really good friends and in-state stud quarterback that Tennessee really wants, Ty Simpson, who many are calling the most coveted quarterback to come out of the state of Tennessee in over a decade.
Ooh, like a little combo action.
I believe they go to school together over in Westview. Is that where you said he went to high school at, the kicker?
Yes.
That's where Ty Simpson goes as well. So they are boys. So maybe Tennessee doing a little combo recruiting here. Let's pump. Give the kicker a scholarship for all I care. I don't give a damn. Give him a scholarship. Give it to him. If he wants to have a scholarship and feel important. Yeah, I know he got a preferred walk-on spot, which what's the difference between the preferred walk-on and the walk-on? Is there any,
it's
like,
literally
money?
Like we asked you to come here.
Right, but there's no like money difference, right? Like,
no.
It's basically like we want you. You basically have a roster spot.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Is like
you'll get the practice and be with like the main team. Yeah. Like, some of the walk-ons do a little bit of different stuff sometimes. But
yeah. You're not going to be scout team. We're not going to beat the hell out of you. Like, you're not just there to like help give us extra bodies to beat up. Like, you are on the team. Mm-hmm. You have a roster spot. We're just not going to use
a scholarship for you.
Yeah, but like usually if you come here as a preferred walk-on and you actually play, they'll find a scholarship for you after somebody transfers in a year or two. So, like, hey, kicker. I mean, maybe this ain't the right class to do it on just because Tennessee, filling up scholarship spots.
Yeah.
Because the kicker's this class, right, Hayden?
21, yeah.
Yeah,
so
and Ty Simpson's 22, so so get here a little bit early. Maybe by the time Simpson gets here, he'll already have a scholarship spot ready for him. So a little combo recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
I hate talking about recruiting. I hate talking about recruiting. We're at a weird spot where it feels like sports are going on, but like football still hasn't happened, so like there's no football to really talk about.
Yeah,
so,
unfortunately.
So sports are here, but they're not type of thing. We know they're here. I can give you more basketball talk, but I know you guys don't want more basketball talk.
We got some news. You see the bad news for that game tonight, the Rockets-Lakers.
Oh, no.
LeBron James is resting.
So, okay. That's all right. They've earned that. They didn't look good yesterday. So, I mean, like, you could tell that the Lakers had the one-seed blues, right, where they went out, they wrapped up the one seed, and then next thing you know, they get beat by 20 points by the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could tell they were, like, you know, feeling themselves after getting the one seed. So, you're on a back-to-back. I'm not playing Anthony Davis either if I'm Frank Vogel.
He's probable is what I saw, but LeBron James is resting a sore groin, apparently.
You can call it that if you want. I say he's resting because they don't want to make him play a back-to-back in a meaningless game.
Yeah, that's just got to make it sound good.
And didn't the Rockets beat the Lakers? Didn't the Rockets beat the Lakers when they played right after the Rockets went to small ball? whenever they said we don't want to sit out.
Yeah, I do remember.
So maybe if you're the Lakers, like, you don't want to play LeBron this game just because you don't want to deal with a second loss to them. You don't want to give the Rockets even more confidence if they go all out and try to beat you. Maybe there's some mind games here of like, yeah, we're not even going to risk it. We don't want this. We don't want these problems. But again, you get the one seed. You get the one seed blues. You party a little bit. You celebrate. You pour beer on each other. You talk about an accomplishment, and then you rest the next day after you get beat by 20 points. Does that take a lot of the excitement away from you, I guess, because that was a game that we were looking forward to, and now we won't have LeBron there. And LeBron, obviously, the biggest part of the Lakers' success.
Yeah, I think it'll still be entertaining, but yeah, if you get a casual fan who's like, oh, Rockets-Lakers, that sounds like a good game. You're like, oh, well, LeBron's not playing. That would kind of, I think, dull it down for some of those kind of people, but... there's those people that watch just because of LeBron. So,
you know, if I'm a Lakers fan or if I'm a basketball fan, like, I kind of just want to see Anthony Davis run the team.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's value in that. Like, Anthony Davis is going to have to be really, really good for the Lakers to have a chance because, you know, when the Lakers win, that roster looks good, right?
Yeah.
But when the Lakers lose, you all of a sudden start looking around, you're like, man, this team isn't very good. You know what I mean? Like, yesterday I found myself like, we're really out here relying on J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters. Like, Waiters can get to the rim, but, like, are we really relying on him and Caruso? And, like, is Dwight Howard really going to carry a championship team's bench? Like, what, JaVale McGee's your starting center? You start looking around, that roster feels a lot worse when Danny Green's not hitting shots.
Yeah, absolutely. And Deion Waiters has never seen a shot he hasn't liked, so...
Deion Waiters is going to have to play good for them to win a championship, too. Like, he's going to have to be their bench punch. Yeah, he's going to have to come in and score 10 points a game.
Exactly, but we'll see. It's weird. Like, the last game, Anthony Davis kind of seemed like he almost, like, disappeared. Like, if you look at his shot comparison to that game and the game beforehand, he took, like, 10 shots in the first quarter, the one they won, and then I think...
Well, it's the same thing he did. It's the same thing he did game two against... who they lose to after they beat the Clippers. They turn around and lost to the Raptors. Like, he just kind of... I don't want to deal with Siakam and Marc Gasol. That's kind of what Anthony Davis did last night. He's like, Steven Adams? Nah, bro, I'm not going out here and banging with him.
Exactly.
I'm not letting Steven Adams foul me. Forget that. No thanks. But tonight, he'll be, you know, if I'm him, I am looking and I'm saying, no LeBron, and the Rockets don't play anybody over 6'7", 6'8".
Yep.
Like, Jeff Green's guarding me on the post? Cool. Like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get 40 and remind everybody of how good I am. That's what these type of games should be for Anthony Davis. Because, again, he is going to have to be elite. He is going to have to remind everybody he's a top 5, top 7 type of player for them to win the championship. Because when you look at the Lakers versus the Clippers, which is what everyone has circled, right? When you look at Lakers versus Clippers, you know who they can't guard? They can't guard Anthony Davis. You can throw Kawhi and Paul George at LeBron James and bother him. You can't throw Kawhi Leonard and Paul George at Anthony Davis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
that doesn't work. Anthony Davis is taller and more athletic than everybody. So if they're going to beat the Clippers, he's going to have to come out and score 30 points a game and be taller and be better than everybody.
Yeah, he's got to take advantage of that matchup. I mean, like you said, there isn't nobody that can handle him on that team right now.
Well, do you have confidence in him being able to do that? And Anthony Davis being able to flip that switch? Because, I mean, there's been times in New Orleans when he was there that he could, you know, play those games. And he carried the Pelicans to the second round by dismantling the Blazers that year after Boogie went down. So he has it in him.
Yeah, I'd say yes, but yeah, I also would in the back of my mind be kind of worried he's going to give you one of those games where he also kind of disappears. So I would still say yes. Like, I think if they had if it was a series between Lakers and Rockets, I'm still going Lakers on that one just because, I think
what about Lakers-Clippers?
I don't
think the Lakers are looking at the Rockets worried about them. Like, we'll take them seriously, but I think in LA they're looking at each other and just saying, we're eventually going to get our way. We're eventually going to find each other.
I personally like the Clippers.
Okay.
See,
I think if Anthony Davis plays great, I think the Lakers will handle the Clippers pretty easily. Or not, I won't say easily, but they'll beat them. But if he doesn't, if he's just average or just even good, then I think the Clippers will win.
I would agree with that. I mean, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Lakers beat the Clippers, but I'm going to give the Clippers the edge at the moment. I don't know. I thought they were right there last game they played. But missing, like, Lou Williams and stuff, I think gives them that extra kind of punch they need off the bench.
Yeah, I saw people saying that, but if I'm the Lakers, I want Lou Williams out there in crunch time. Because when they played that third game, the Lakers' first win, like, they just said, okay, Lou Williams, whoever you're guarding, come set a screen on LeBron. And then we're gonna get LeBron switched on Lou Williams, and he is going to drive to the rim and score or get fouled every time. So if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, yeah, please bring Lou Williams on. Like, bring him on the court, because we will find him and assassinate him defensively. All right, hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. We got some this or that coming. Me and Cam will try our hands at that. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. As we talk about college football and the NFL and their lack of bubble and how that might hurt them when it comes time for their season, college basketball, or at least a couple of the conferences so far, have discussed using a bubble. The Big Ten and the Big East both have talked about trying to put their people in a bubble. I don't know if that means the entire basketball season, but like, okay.
Interesting.
I can see it. And I guess, like, if they have any conference, if they have a conference tournament, like, they'll try to, will they try to,
I can if, see if a they conference make it tournament far, being a bubble, yeah.
The NCAA tournament, like, I can see them trying to put it at one location, maybe.
Yeah, that's way more feasible to me.
Yeah, like, instead of doing it in the regular season, that seems really tough, but
that seems almost impossible. I mean, like, you could have your students doing online classes and make that work, but then also, like, I think that's a lot to ask of amateur athletes. I think you'll get a lot of backlash almost for that.
Yeah, that's what Jeff Goodman tweeted out. Jeff Goodman just said the Big East and the Big Ten have been discussing using a bubble for basketball. Which, I mean, I guess basketball is going to have almost a full 9 months to try to figure this out, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
they got time.
From March all the way to, you know, November, December. CBS Sports, I guess, graded the coaches' poll.
Yeah, they came up with some overrated and underrated teams off their, like, snap reactions of seeing the rankings.
Okay, it's not Wednesday, but we can still play some overrated, underrated. So what do they got? Who do they feel like? Did they rank them in terms of who the most overrated is? Like, who the most overvalued is? Or
no, they kind of just, like, gave their list. They just kind of named the couple few they thought were overrated and a couple they thought were underrated. Okay. So.
Who stands out as overrated on the coach's top 25?
A possible Tennessee opponent, they got Texas A&M as overrated, sitting at number 13.
I mean, I'll be honest, when I heard you tell me that Texas A&M was 13, my snap reaction was, that seems too high.
Yeah, coming off an 8-5 year, they went 4-4 in the SEC. They were outscored in SEC play, actually. They lost to LSU and Alabama by a combined 62 points.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're just like, Their five losses weren't bad losses, though. Like, it was Clemson, Auburn, Georgia, LSU, and Alabama. So that's not a, you know, pushovers or anything.
None of those losses were embarrassing, although I would ask, like, who are their wins then? Like, who do they actually beat? Like, to, I mean, because I get it.
Crazy.
I get it's one thing to say, like, hey, we didn't lose anybody badly, but, or anybody that was bad, but, like, did you beat anybody worth a damn? Or just, like, did you just.
Not really. They only beat Arkansas and Mississippi by a combined 11 points last year. So they weren't, like, blowing out the small teams or anything.
See, that's kind of my point. Yeah, it doesn't mean much to me if you say you didn't have any bad losses if you struggled to get by against your lesser opponents.
So they had them as overrated. Also had the other Texas team, Texas, as overrated, sitting number 14. The Longhorns have been trying to save it. They're back for, seems like, the past 10 years or so.
It sucks to have a punchline built in to make fun of you and mock you.
Yeah, like Sam Ehlinger is still there, and they always hype him up every year. But we'll see. They're sitting at number 14, so they thought they were overrated. And then they also got their Mack Brown over there doing some wonders recruiting. They think he's overrated with North Carolina at number 19.
I mean, that feels like we can't pencil them in at number 19 already, right? Yeah. Like, I mean,
they were 7-6 last year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get that they surprised Clemson, and when I say surprised Clemson, they still lost to Clemson, but they gave them a scare.
Yep.
They lost on what, a failed 2-point conversion?
Yeah, they went for two at the end. Yep. Yeah.
So you played them toe to toe. You almost beat them, but still, you lost.
Yeah. I would have been fun, like, sneaking them in at, like, 25, if you wanted to do something like that. But, yeah, I don't think they really haven't proven anything yet. They do have a really good quarterback. I like their quarterback. But, yeah, overrated seems to fit them as well.
Honestly, I would have been probably upset if you sneaked them in the top 25 at all, to just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I have no argument against that at all. And then they had they only had two teams they listed as underrated. One of them was former Tennessee opponent, Oklahoma, who's at number 6. They think number 6 is underrated for Oklahoma. So
if you're saying Oklahoma's underrated, that means you think... I mean, again, snap reaction, I felt like Oklahoma's going to be better than LSU.
Yep.
If LSU's at 5, like, I feel like, okay, well, Oklahoma's underrated, but only by one spot. Like, I'm not putting Oklahoma in the top 5. Or, excuse me, the top 4. I'll put them at 5. That's as high as I'll put them.
Yeah, their take was just like Oklahoma's, like, always ends up in the top 4. So I guess they're saying instead of 6, they should be 4.
Okay, but, I mean, head-to-head, I'll take Georgia over them this year, even not knowing what Georgia has at quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'll figure, you know, either Newman or JT Daniels will be at least as good as Fromm was last year, and that was good enough to get them in the top 4. So
And then we still don't know what Oklahoma has at quarterback yet either. Like, Rattler hasn't been proven yet either, sure. But, you know, they have a good track record of quarterbacks, so wouldn't it surprise me if he, you know, turned out good.
But again, I'll take them over LSU next year, so they are underrated. Yep. I think they should be 5.
And then the other underrated team they have is Tennessee.
Hey, turn
they
up,
listed
turn
us
up.
As underrated as being unranked,
turn
I guess.
Up.
They thought we should be in the top 25 somewhere. They said we finished just outside the top 25
last year. You can't put a team like Tennessee at 26, buddy. They got to be at least at 25. You are 100% right there.
Exactly. So, yeah, and he even mentioned how we were in the Alabama game for most of the year last year.
Yeah, we were in that Alabama game. People forget that.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He's like, yeah, we've got a good win streak going.
And I don't want to hear that Tua was out of the game, because guess what? Guess what, guys? Tua ain't playing this year either.
Exactly. So, but yeah, he made that argument that, like, yeah, we were competitive in a game like that. We have a win streak right now, and he's like, there's no reason that you can't put them in over a team like Iowa State.
Feels good. Feels good to get some respect. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, shout out Tom Fornelli, I guess.
Big Tom Fornelli fan. Always have been.
Well, yeah, so they
that's
their
that's
snap.
That's not true. I haven't always been a Tom Fornelli fan. I usually don't have feelings about Tom Fornelli, but...
Yeah, that was kind of their snap reaction to the polls. So I've seen a couple things like that where people seen.
Many people are saying
we're a top 25 team.
Many people are
saying
we're at least top 25, and putting us at 26 is a blatant
disrespectful
slap in the face.
Disrespectful.
Thank you for someone saying that.
Needed to be said.
Is there anybody you look at, Cam, on that list and have a feeling strongly about either way? Underrated or overrated?
Of the teams they mentioned,
yeah,
I would agree with the Texas and the Texas A&M. I'm not gonna trust Texas until Texas actually does something.
Well, Texas at 14 is not gonna jump off the radar to me, because you can go 9-3 and be a top 15 team. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I think that they'll go at least 9-3. Like,
that's fair. I don't really have an argument with like their rankings. Or the teams they mentioned, like, uh-huh. I think that's pretty fair. I would say I think LSU is a little high. Like, I understand you're giving them the respect off last year.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to be a top 5 team again this year.
I have no problem giving them preseason rankings are dumb anyways. Like, it's just a thing to drive interest, to sell magazines, to sell preseason matchups, just, you know, to networks, and then sell early season matchups. But... You know, like, I'm fine with LSU getting to be a top 5 team just because they were so dominant last year, and they still have a lot of talent there. But again, I don't expect them to be 5th in the country.
Yeah, something like Cincinnati at 22, Virginia Tech at 24, like Iowa State. Like, I think there's other teams you could have had in there over some of those teams, but like, I do think Auburn's a little high too at 11.
Another bad bogey for Tiger.
Oof.
You got to hit that par po. I mean, what is Tiger's deal? He did this the last tournament he played, too. He came out and birdied, like, the two first holes and then just fell apart. At the Memorial? I believe the first two holes he birdied.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, man, Tiger's locked in. And then, no, he wasn't. Today, he birdied two of the first three holes, and now back to even Steven. Sorry, Kim, to cut you off.
You're good.
Wanted to give the people what they want, which is Tiger updates.
People do love the Tiger updates.
I mean, it was a 6-foot par putt? How far was that?
That's it?
I mean, maybe
right to left.
Yeah, maybe it was longer, but to me it looked like 6 feet.
No,
I don't
it was
know.
6 feet, 5-6 feet, something like that.
You gotta be careful. Jordan Spieth may be coming for him.
I mean, Spieth might be Tiger, but I don't think you get a box seat at the
at the
game just for beating
not.
Tiger.
I do not, unfortunately.
Some of these guys, you know, looking like now the leaders, all kind of settling into 5 under.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for the big guns to go off later. All right, Hayden, what do you got for us for this or that? I'm excited to see what your first batch of this or that will be.
It's hard to do worse than my topic, so.
Okay, first up we got, who would you rather have as your NFL head coach, Dan Quinn or Bill O'Brien?
Okay.
Next we got hamburgers or tacos.
Okay.
And last we have canned or bottled drinks.
Okay, I'll give you a C- on these topics. It's fine.
Hey, C's get degrees.
It's passing grade. It's passing grade. If it was a pass-fail system, you pass. C minus though, 5.8 out of 10. So next week, just you'll go up a little bit. It's fine.
That doesn't work out to a C minus, but 5.8 out of 10 is a 58. So
it does on my scale.
That'd be an F.
If I'm a teacher, I have my own scale.
Skewed it down. You know.
I have my own scale. 5.5. You now have a D plus. You now have a D plus for arguing with the teacher. You want to go for a D minus, or do you want to take a D plus? What do you want to do here? Ball's in your court. You want to write some sentences? 100 sentences? You want to go for 2? That was my punishment always growing up.
My
dad was not allowed to spank us after an incident with a cow paddle out on the farm one time. So the courts did not allow my dad to spank us anymore. So then we turned into having to write sentences when we got in trouble.
Dang.
Which was way worse. I was like, can you please just beat me with the belt? Like,
I got both.
Can we just get this over with? Can you beat me? Because I would always start out at 500 sentences, and I would say, not writing those. Then it would be 1,000. Then it would end up being 2,000. And then, like, 3 weeks later, I'd want to go like the high school football games. Like, we better write your sentences. I'm like, oh, my God, are you serious?
Yeah, I got the combo whammy. I got spanked, then I had the right sentences after that. Yeah. So, it's hard to write sentences when you got tears in your eyes from getting that whacking. So
I will not disrespect my parents. All right, this or that coming up next.
This.
All right, y'all ready to play the debate segment known as This or That?
Yes, I am excited.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's screw.
First up, who would you rather have as your NFL head coach, Dan Quinn or Bill O'Brien?
Oh, this is an easy one. You got to go Dan Quinn here. Oh, that's like, oh, this isn't even really a debate. NFC Championship. When has Bill O'Brien ever won any sort of a conference championship? He hasn't. Dan Quinn has one under his belt. He's been to a Super Bowl. I think that all automatically makes him outclassed. He has a pretty good postseason record. Bill O'Brien, I think, is like 1-2 in the postseason. No success. Who trades away DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson in 2020 or 2019? Whenever he did. I don't know. This year's been long. But who does that? Dan Quinn would never. He has an unproblematic receiver that he likes to keep tight and close to his vest that he would never trade away. Dan Quinn, easily the better coach.
Okay, first of all, let's separate the GM from the head coach, okay? I think that's a fair request here. We're not judging Bill O'Brien as a GM. We're judging him as a head coach. And in his 6 seasons, he has a 54% winning percentage. In Dan Quinn's 5 seasons, he has a 53% winning percentage. Bill O'Brien has won more division titles. Bill O'Brien, in 6 years, has one losing record. He's only had one losing season in 6 years. Dan Quinn, I mind you, coming off back-to-back 7-9 seasons. Now, if you want to get to like who they're actually doing it with, then it really swings in Bill O'Brien's favor because Dan Quinn, who's his quarterback been the entire time? MVP Matt Ryan. We love Matt Ryan. Julio Jones. Great, right? Great duo. You got that, and you're still out here going 8-8 or worse 3 of your 5 years? 3 of your 5 years, you were 500 or worse. Meanwhile, I'll tell you, Bill O'Brien, he won the division with Brock Osweiler as his quarterback. He won the division with Brock Osweiler as his quarterback. He won the division with Brian Hoyer as his quarterback. Okay?
Can we look at the divisions they're playing in? Until the Titans figured out you could just hand it to Derrick Henry every play and that works, that division has been awful. Of course you can have a higher win percentage playing in that division. Drop the Falcons in that division, we're going to win that division every year. Are you kidding me?
You can't beat the team called the Aints. The team is called the Aints and you can't even beat them. Are you gonna defend and talk about how great the Saints are? Is that what's about to happen here?
No, we beat them.
Because the Bucks suck. The Bucks suck. And the Panthers, you know, have been good for 1 year. So unless you're going to sit here and praise how great the Saints are, I don't really know what your argument is.
Well, we have to compete with people like Drew Brees every year. We had Cam Newton every year.
The Saints, until the last 2 years, were like a 7-9 franchise. What are you talking about? The only years the Falcons even won anything is when the Saints were just completely awful. You can't beat a good Saints team. That's it. That's how it goes. When I say beat them, I don't mean like head-to-head in the games. I mean for the division, of course. But I mean like, you know, Dan Quinn had the 1 year, sure. But keep in mind, please, before the Super Bowl year, please keep in mind Dan Quinn gagging a, what was it, a 17-0 halftime lead against the 49ers? Is that what it was, 17-0? And he gagged that game up at home? At home? And keep in mind, yeah, you went to the Super Bowl, but you know what you did? You gagged a 28-3 lead in the third quarter. At least when Bill O'Brien blows a 24-point lead, he does it after the first quarter, not the third quarter of a Super Bowl.
We wanted to give our fans two good quarters of football, and that's what he did. So, but hey, his first year he went 8-8. That was his first year as a head coach. But he did that. Second year he went to a Super Bowl.
Dan Quinn is supposed to be a defensive coach. He had to fire himself as the defensive coordinator last year before the defense
could
even play.
That's called high IQ awareness. He realized my scheme isn't going to work. I need to get a right scheme.
It's called
being great head coach management
being
right there.
Completely useless. It's called
that's how you manage your team. You realize you find the problem and you fix it. And after he did that, they went 7-1. That's called good head coaching right there.
But how does it feel when you're the problem?
At least he was able to recognize that. Bill O'Brien has no clue he's the problem.
He was the problem. Bill O'Brien won the division last year.
He's about to ruin Deshaun Watson's career.
He's won with Brian Hoyer. He's won with Matt Schaub. He's won with Brock Osweiler. He's fine. He doesn't need him.
I would take Super Bowl appearances.
One losing season in 6 years. Dan Quinn has two winning seasons in 5 years.
With Andrew Luck. Division.
We're not even going to talk about. I don't need help here, Draven. I don't need attack.
Wow, see, look, he needs assistance to argue for Bill O'Brien.
This isn't a tag team. This isn't a tag team situation. Higher winning percentage, and like, look, let's face it, right? Like, Bill O'Brien has two playoff wins. Not great, but like, are we really going to sit here and praise Dan Quinn for having three?
Yes.
Like, are we going to act like that's that much of a difference? Like, you've won three playoff games, like. You only made the playoffs twice. Like, I would rather get to the playoffs every year. Even if you lose, it's fine.
It's hard to go back to the playoffs after appearing in the Super Bowl the year after. That's usually really hard to do. Well, usually there's a changing of the guard.
Well, what was the excuse in 2019?
About not going to the playoffs?
Yeah.
We were prepping for this year.
Oh, prepping for this year. Okay.
We wanted Tom Brady to come to our division so we could beat him down and Drew Brees and completely embarrass him this year.
Hayden, I get it may be tough, but you have to separate Bill O'Brien, the GM, from Bill O'Brien, the head coach. Bill O'Brien, the head coach, as much as I hate him, as much as I hated him and his stupid little butt chin, he wins the division. He makes the playoffs. That's what he does.
Bill O'Brien, as the head coach, was okay with what Bill O'Brien, the GM, was doing.
That's irrelevant. Because Dan Quinn's not like he's putting together like a great free agency signings. I mean, he's okay with
Dante Fowler coming in, Todd Gurley on a cheap deal. See if he's still
Todd
got anything left
like
in the
8 million.
No, he's getting like 5.
Okay, still 4 too much. Still 4 too much. Dan Quinn also paid Devonta Freeman. Just keep that in mind too.
And then he realized when it was time to get rid of him.
Yeah, after the window
high
was closed.
Awareness level.
After the window is closed, you're giving Dan Quinn some type of credit for realizing all the mistakes that Dan Quinn makes.
Hey, that's the first step in becoming better, is recognizing the flaws in yourself.
The first step of being good is not make mistakes.
Cam, you had something there with Hopkins, but point's going to have to go to John here.
Ah, the Cody chair. Oh, no. All right.
Only one less playoff win, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay, next, hamburgers or tacos?
I went with hamburgers just because hamburgers are tastier. Like, I feel like if I eat tacos outside of Tuesdays, I'm really just, what am I doing with my life? You know what I mean? Like,
tacos on Wednesday. That doesn't feel right.
It's a good time.
Just one day a week. Tacos. I can eat hamburgers 6 days a week. I appreciate cows. Cows have done a lot for me. I don't know if you see this, Hayden. Cow right there on the bicep. I don't have a taco on there. That'd be weird.
It's like tacos aren't made with beef sometimes.
I was going to say, but wait, aren't tacos made with beef? Oh, no.
Yeah,
what have I done?
What have I done? Shout out cows. That's right.
Shout out cows.
Tacos are way more versatile. Think of all, you don't even have to just use beef. You can use chicken. You can use beef. You can use whatever you want. Whatever kind of meat you want to throw in your taco, you can throw in your taco. Topping-wise, any type of topping you want. Doesn't have to just be cheese and meat. You can throw the lettuce. You can throw the sour cream. You can throw whatever you want. Salsa, anything you want on your taco, you can put on your taco. And you can get them any price range. You can get, hey, you say you're feeling cheap, go get a dollar taco from Taco Bell.
Disgusting.
You feeling a little bougier and you want to go get a really nice street taco, go get a nice street taco.
I would like to point out they have dollar hamburgers too. Just want to point that out. You can go to like Wendy's and get a dollar hamburger. Just pointing that out, price-wise, I mean, go ahead.
But the tacos are way more versatile. The tacos are great. You can eat tacos any day of the week. And the best part about tacos is usually when you go get tacos, you get to also get like a margarita or something with it too. Mm. You also get chips and salsa. It's just a whole experience when you get tacos.
You gotta throw extra things in to spice it up because everyone knows that like two tacos isn't gonna fill you up, you know? So you gotta get all the bells and whistles of let's get you drunk. Let's get you drunk to maybe you'll forget that the taco isn't good enough. Or let's give you chips and salsa to try to fill you up because, again, the taco isn't going to do a good enough job itself. Interesting.
It's like burgers don't come with fries and stuff.
They don't have to.
You're just ordering just one singular burger. Give me one burger, please.
Go to Five Guys and just get one of those big old juicy burgers, and you don't need a side.
Oh, they give you a whole bag full of fries. They're trying to cover up the fact.
Only if you order the $3 fries. I don't order the $3 fries. I'm in and out.
So you leave Five Guys with one singular burger. Yeah. And you don't eat anything else with it.
Too much. The fries are too much. The burger fills me up enough. And by the way, you use versatility as a plus. I would say versatility is just a mask that the beef taco isn't good enough to stand alone. The chicken taco isn't good enough to stand alone. So you have to offer all these other options because simply putting beef in the taco wasn't good enough for everybody. So they had to mix it up. You know what people don't have to mix up? A nice burger and two buns.
Yeah, that's why there's not turkey burgers and things like that.
Time out. No. Turkey burgers are simply a healthy alternative. That's different. That's not for taste. No one prefers the taste of turkey burgers. It's because we want to be healthier. That's it.
This is America. When have we ever put health first in anything? We are about being an obese country and enjoying our good food. We want our good food. We don't want healthy food.
The turkey burgers was the first time. That was it. That's when we made a decision. We're going to say, you know what? You know, it's a little bit leaner.
No one has ever been like, you know what? I prefer a turkey burger over a normal burger of flavor.
Right. You're exactly right. They haven't been because the hamburger is such a classic. You are exactly right, Cam. No one has ever said they want the turkey burger.
So
more.
Nobody needs half your options. Their burgers are just all your different variety. Doesn't even happen. Everybody's,
are you going to argue for every taco, by the way? Like, or is it just like a beef taco? What's happening here? Like
every taco. Every tacos. Taco? We have every taco. Hard shell, soft shell. We got any kind of taco you want.
Any type of meat, too? That seems a little unfair in terms of just the...
There's shrimp tacos. There's fish tacos. There's chicken tacos.
I love shrimp
tacos. There's beef
tacos.
The versatility's unmatched.
Chicken tacos are okay. I mean, do I get to argue like a chicken sandwich? I mean, like, what's happening here?
Versatility's unmatched. You can't match the versatility of a taco.
Versatility's a mask that it's not good enough to stand alone. IMO.
The point's going to go to Cam here.
I feel like the question was a little slanted to Cam, too. I mean, since you didn't specify beef tacos, you know what I mean?
The versatility got you.
Excuse me?
The versatility got you for tacos, I believe.
Okay, that's fine. That's what I said. I'm stuck with one meat, and he gets 18 different meats.
There's a lot of different toppings for burgers, you could have said.
Toppings aren't meat. Toppings don't make the burger.
To spice it up.
The toppings don't make the burger. The burger makes the burger. The meat makes the burger. Everyone knows
that. All right.
Throw an egg on there, though. That's good.
Canned or bottled drinks?
I gotta go bottle here. Have you ever had you ever been to like the World of Coke? You go to the World of Coke, they hand you a bottle at the end of your tour. Not a can, because the bottle hits different. There is something different about drinking it out of a bottle. It just has a completely different feel.
You're talking about a glass bottle? You're not buying glass bottles in the store, though. They're just going with nostalgia there.
Buy them at the store.
Yeah,
and it's
but
like
not
a special
really.
Treat.
Yeah, but not really. Like, are we arguing about like glass bottles or Coke or plastic bottles? Which one are you going with? You going with glass bottles or are you going to do both again?
I got all sorts of bottles.
Okay, that's fine.
Bottles are recyclable, so are cans.
So are
but
cans.
Now we have two types of things. We're covering both of them.
Sounds
the
like
plastic
really
and glass. We recycle
here.
Everything.
Really killing the environment here with all that plastic.
Cans are cheaper. Crazy. That's why they're in the cans, because it's just a cheaper quality soda. You put it in the bottle, it just it's better. It just hits better.
Everyone knows that a can of Coke is superior to the bottle of Coke. Everyone knows that. No one disputes that. The nice, the aluminum gets
colder. Can close a bottle.
You can close a bottle.
You can close a bottle.
If you drink a 12-ounce Coke, it's so good you don't even have to close it. You drink it in one sitting.
Say something comes up while you're in the middle of drinking your Coke. Oh no, I forgot something in the oven. Set my bottle on a precarious position on the edge of my couch, but I closed it. It falls over. Nothing happens. Oh, you
flat.
Get up in a hurry with your can. Boom!
Flat.
It's on the ground. It's going to go flat in the 2 seconds you run into your oven? No, but if you set your can there and it falls over, you got a big spill.
It goes flat when you knock it off the couch whenever you thought it was going to spill, but the lid was on. You ever shake up the Coke, it gets flat. You knocked it off the couch, it shook, it got all fizzy, and now it's flat.
You just wait till it defuses the situation, but at least you still have your Coke instead of it being on the floor, and now you have to clean it up.
Anyone with the can knows you would never set the can on the edge of the couch. You take care of the can. A, because the can is a valuable commodity because it tastes so good. Usually, like I said, you could drink those in like 3 minutes. You just put them down. You don't have to come back and save it for later. But also, if you have a can, you realize, like, look, got to be careful here, setting it in the middle of the table on a coaster because I don't want rings on my table. Can of Coke. It's a thing. It's beautiful. It's brilliant. The aluminum, so cold, so yummy.
Bottles hold more stuff.
They do hold more.
More product. Usually around the same price. More product.
Not the same price. That's not true.
I'd say it's similar enough in price.
16 ounce Coke over at the Pilot, 99 cents, and then you know you get to the 24 ounce bottle, and that's like $1.80. So, you know, I think the value is getting two of the. If you get two of the 16 ounce cans, you got 32 ounces. You know what I mean? You're coming out, you know, 10 cents ahead there. Just for the real Coke drinkers out there, they feel me.
Woo. Can people gotta nitpick over cents? Wow!
You just said it was cheaper. I'm just saying for the real Coke drinkers, we know the difference.
Water also comes in bottles. You want to go back to the healthy stuff?
Water also comes in bottles.
You more versatility. More stuff comes in bottles than comes in cans.
Kills the environment.
You just recycle it. You use recycled plastic. Look, he's drinking out of a bottle right now.
Because
he's not drinking out of a can.
They don't make cans of water.
Well, there we go. Exactly.
I mean, if you brought me a can of water, I would drink it out of it. I was thinking of soda. Things that actually come in cans.
Could have went beer, too.
It's fine. Could have.
He didn't.
He doesn't drink beer.
I don't drink beer.
Just wasting the cans.
Yeah.
They're useless to him because cans can be useless when you have a bottle.
Okay. Guess you got me with not having a can of water. I never thought that was going to come back
again. Cam's going to get the win here.
Woo! First time victory.
Well,
coming out hot.
What can you do?
I broke the Cody chair curse.
What can you do? All right, last call on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.